So there's no independent conferences?
We're live. Okay, good morning, everyone. Today's daf is daf Ayin Dalet. Ayin Dalet of Ozar. We have another three more days to go until we conclude the Masechta. We start Horios on Shabbos, and we are just this close to finishing Seder Nezikin. After the conclusion of Seder Nezikin, we move on to Kachim, Zvachim, Menachos, and Chulin, the big three. And then we get to a lot of small, difficult Masechtas at the end of Seder Kachim. But we have a while before we get there, but the goal line is really not that far away. A year from this summer, right? We can talk now like that. A year from this summer, we are finishing up Shas. And for some of us, that's again.
Any events in Boca?
No, we'll take everyone to New York. We'll go to New York. We are on Ayin Gimel Amud Beis. We're in the middle of the Amud, right? Zeh Klal. The Mishnah gave us a very basic rule in the world of Tarovis when it's been min b'mino, it's b'mashu, and shalom b'mino b'no sein tam. Okay, and the Gemara now brings in a fundamental machlokus between the Amoraim. Rav Shmuel d'Amri Tavayhu, right in the middle of the Amud. Both Rav and Shmuel say kol yisurin shabator b'mino b'mashu, shalom b'mino b'no sein tam. So when it comes to every Yisur in the Torah, so it's min b'mino, so if it's similar in taste, so it's b'mashu. Meaning that any amount of prohibited item gets mixed up with any amount of permissible item, even if the ratio is very much in favor of the permissible item, still it's going to create Yisur. It's b'mashu. It's any amount. Shelo b'minim, however, if they're dissimilar in taste, so then it's nesinas tam, so then it's going to be taste. As long as there's a negation of taste, so there's a negation of the Isser. Zeha klala su yemai. So now, let's put in Rav and Shmuel into our Mishnah. When the Mishnah says Zeha klala, what's that coming to include? Ma'ala su'i kol Isser and Shabbat Torah. Simple. In other words, the general rule of the Mishnah is there to tell us that this is true regarding any Isser in the Torah, the difference between min b'mino versus min b'sheino mino. Good. That's Rav and Shmuel. Rav Yochanan Meish Lakish Dar Metavayu Kol Yisurin Shabbat Torah Bein B'Minan Bein Shelo B'Minan B'No Sein Tam. However, Rav Meish Lakish and Rav Yochanan, the Amoraim of Eretz Yisrael, they disagree. They say no. It's always going to be Nesinas Tam. That always is going to be the point of Bittul, and it does not matter. And there are only going to be there will be exceptions to that. Chutz Mitavol Yai Nesach. So the only two exceptions are Tevel and Yai Nesach, where they're going to be Isuri Mashuhu when it's Min Bimino. Zaklal Asuye, Tevel. And what about the Zaklal of our Mishnah? Not as general as you would think, according to Reish Lakish Rav Yochanan. It's only coming to include Tevel. Good. So this is a basic machlokus between the Amorayim. And, as I mentioned already once before, but we'll mention again, it's Machlokish Rishonim as well. Rashi, Paschim's like Rav and Shmuel. Rashi's of the opinion that when it comes to Min B'mino, it's also B'mashehu. And Rabbeinu Tam disagrees. Rabbeinu Tam says no, Min B'mino, and Min B'she'eno Mino, regarding Shar Yisurim in the Torah, is Bin No Sein Tam. Like I've said also before, the Mishnah doesn't say this, but we know, the Gemara says it, when we talk about Nesinas Tam, how much do you need in order to negate taste? Shishim. Shishim is the measurement that we use in order to negate taste. We're gonna spend some time on this piece of Gemara over here because there's a lot to learn and a lot to go over. The accepted halachas like Rabbeinu Tam, right? The Shulchan Aruch, the Rambam, all the codifiers, they pass them like Rabbeinu Tam. So therefore, whenever you have a tarovis, whenever you have a mixture, so it's Nesinas Tam. It's going to be No Sein Tam. The min b'sheino mino, we certainly understand, right? That goes without saying. When I have a combination of dissimilar tastes, so in other words, basa b'chalav is our best example, it's a classic example. So I have meat and milk. So I have a milk dropping into meat, and there's enough meat now where I no longer taste the milk. So you understand why there's bittul. I don't taste the milk. In other words, even though there's milk that went in, and even though the Torah says basa b'chalav is asur, but if I don't taste the milk is kilu, it's not even there. So that we totally understand. In the case of min b'mino, it's a little bit strange that no sein tam becomes the guideline, the criteria of when there's going to be bittul. Min b'mino, what is min b'mino? Min b'mino means I have grape juice and yai nesach is not a good example because that's the exception. But let's say I have kosher milk and non-kosher milk. Okay? Fine. And let's assume in the purpose of this example that they taste the same kosher milk and non-kosher milk. And I have a little bit of non-kosher milk gets in with kosher milk. That's what's called min b'mino. So, again, Rav and Shmuel say that any amount will alter it. And Rashi passes like Rav and Shmuel. Good. But we don't. We pass like Rabbeinu Tam. It's difficult to understand why no St. Tom becomes the criteria. Because there's never a negation of taste.
Right.
The tastes taste the same. So it's difficult to understand why no St. Tom becomes the guideline, the criteria. You would think, if I were to ask you, what should be the criteria, when would there be bittul by min b'mino, assuming we don't pass on like Rav and Shmuel, what do you think the answer would be? It's a tough question. No, but shishim is nesinas tam.
No, but what you said, maybe not.
You're correct. The halacha is shishim.
Right, but I'm saying, but maybe nothing to do with nasin tam. It just has to do that it's, one is much greater than the other one.
The
mutter is much greater.
Right.
Nothing to do with
nasin tam. Right, so that's my point. My point, it has nothing to do with nasin tam.
Right.
Right, so the truth of the matter is, just you have to think this through. This stuff is tough stuff. The truth of the matter is that really bittul occurs at rov. In other words, right? What do we know? Right, what do we know? We know that when you have a majority over a minority, the majority rules over the minority. Right? So, in principle, really, the point of bittul really becomes the point of rov. And min haTorah, this is how most Rishonim explain this, min haTorah, that's true, that's correct. That when you have a majority of kosher milk over a minority of non-kosher milk, so that's when the point of bittul actually occurs, because taste is no longer a factor. I don't taste the non-kosher milk, it's the same taste as the kosher milk. So if taste is no longer a factor, so then what we come back to is what we know, which is rov. Rov creates bittul. However, the Chachamim stepped in. I'm just giving you simple pshat in Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan. The Chachamim stepped in. The Chachamim said, yeah, but you know what though? It'll be a little confusing. Meaning that I have to then figure out, is this a mixture of min b'mino, or is this a mixture of min b'sheino mino? It's not that hard to figure out, but I'm just saying, but you know what? The Chachamim said, let's streamline the whole thing. And let's say that regarding any mixture, any type of tarovitz, when I have a lach balach, mixture of liquids getting mixed up with one another, you know what? 60. No St. Tom. Really, the truth of the matter is, by min b'mino, it's rov, but in order to streamline, in order to make everything nice and consistent, and give a nice consistency to the halacha, so the Chachamim said, the shear is going to be nesinas tam for all Yisurim in the Torah, even if it's min b'mino. Okay, simple, basic shot in Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan. Now let's talk about the exceptions. Let me first finish reading the Gemara, and then we'll go over the two exceptions that the Gemara highlights. Back to the Gemara, just finishing up the page. Tanya Kavasi de Rav Shmuel, Tanya Kavasi de Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish, Tanya Kavasi de Rav Ushmuel, Kol Yisur Shabbatar Beminan Bemashu, Shalom Beminan No Saint Tom. Good. Bryce is supporting the position of Rav and Shmuel. Now the Gemara brings in a Bryce that supports in Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish, Tanya Kavasi de Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish, Kol Yisur Shabbatar Beminan Bem Shalom Beminan No Saint Tom, Chutz Mitevel V'Yai Nesach. The two exceptions are Tevel and Yai Nesach. Bemina bemashu shlo bemina benosin tam.
Good. Truma means truma. If truma gets mixed, an example, you have like an orange is and that truma, then also gets mixed with other oranges. That's also bata.
Wait. Hold it. Wait. Not yet. Give me a moment. Bishlam a yain esach mishum chumadavar is kochavim. Now, the Gemara discusses what's behind these two exceptions. Meaning, we do paskin like Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish. We do maintain that by Shari Surim, the guideline is going to be Nesinas Tam. However, in the world of Tevel, and in the world of Yai Nesach, it's going to be Isure Mashihu. Any amount of Yai Nesach that gets mixed up with other wines creates Isur. What's behind that? So the Gemara says, Mishum Chomer Davodas Kochavim. I'll tell you what's behind that. Havodah Zarah. When it comes to Avodah Zarah, we're going to be machmer by Avodah Zarah. So therefore, it's Yisrei Mashihu. Ela Tevel my Taima. What's behind Tevel? Why is Tevel an exception to the rule? Now, first and foremost, what is Tevel? So Tevel is when you have produce that is untithed. You did not take off Trumas, you didn't take off Maisa. So when it comes to Tevel, it's Yisrei Mashihu. Any amount of Tevel that gets mixed up with anything else is going to create Isser. Why? So the Gemara gives an interesting explanation. Kehetero kach isuro. Because how much do you need to take off in order to matir, in order to permit it. Any amount. Right. And what do I mean by that, any amount? In other words, we know, I take off truma, how much truma do I have to take off? So 2%. And then how much maaser do I need to take off? Another 10%. And then there's maaser sheni, and then there's maaser sheni, maaser ani, depending on the year that we're in. So what does the Gemara mean when the Gemara says any amount? The Gemara means any amount. Because even though I just told you that truma is 2%, that's a sheer derabbanan. That's a rabbinic requirement to take off 2% and give to the Kohen, because you have to give the Kohen a significant amount. However, min haTorah, you want to take the tevel and you want to make the tevel mutter? Chita achas poteres sakri. One grain is all you need. So ketera kachisur damashmul chita achas poteres sakri. Tanya nami achi. We learned this as well. B'me amu tevel osu becholshu b'mino shalom b'mino b'nosein tam. And we have a brisa that supports this as well. That when it comes in the world of tevel, it's oser b'mashehu. Okay. Two things that we're going to discuss over here quickly. We'll discuss both the Yayin Nesach and Tevel. First, Yayin Nesach. The Gemara says, how come Yayin Nesach is an exception? Because of Avodah Zarah. Because it's, it's idolatry. The antithesis of our religion. Rabbeinu Tam, based on this Gemara, going back to Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph, so Rabbeinu Tam says that when we're talking about Yayin Nesach being in Isurei Mashehu, any amount of Yayin Nesach will create Isser. We're talking about Yayin Nesach, meaning not Stam Yainam. Right? Whenever we, through the Masechta, we spent a lot of time in this Masechta talking about Yayin Nesach. And really, Yayin Nesach and Stam Yainam have been interchangeable terms. Stam Yainam just simply means wine that was touched by a non-Jew. Right? Stam Yainam. But if it's been touched by a non-Jew, it's, you can't drink it and you can't get benefited, we treat it as if it was actually libated. We are saying in our discussion, in our sugya, that Yayin Nesach is osa b'mashehu. Here Rabbeinu Tam says, we're going to distinguish between wine that was actually libated versus wine that was touched by a non-Jew, what we call Stam Yainam. This halacha, that any amount will create a tarovis of Isser, this halacha is limited to real Yayin Nesach, but not Stam Yainam. Rabbeinu Tam says, why do I say that? Because look, the Gemara just told us. The reason why we're being machmir is because of Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah means it was actually libated. But if it wasn't, if Nisuch was not done with the wine, if it's only the rabbinic prohibition of Stam Yainam, so Rabbeinu Tam says, we're not going to be as machmir. That's the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam. So Rabbeinu Tam, even though throughout the Masechta we've rarely distinguished between Yayin Nesach and Stam Yainam, in the Halach of Isuri Mashehu, Rabbeinu Tam says we're going to distinguish between Yayin Nesach versus Stam Yainam. Good.
That's the only practical difference between the two?
No, right, they're both Asabana. I don't know. I'm not sure. Okay, that's number one. That's issue number one. Not everyone agrees to Rabbeinu Tam. Right, I saw my cheat notes. The Ran disagrees with Rabbeinu Tam. Right, it is it's subject to a debate. This chiddush of Rabbeinu Tam is a bit of a chiddush, and that's number one. Number two. Oh, by the way, and also, right, this machlokes between Rabbeinu Tam and the Ran also translates into machlokes between the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. According to the Shulchan Aruch, any wine Stam Yainam Yayin Nesach that gets mixed in is also b'mashehu. Any amount becomes aser. And the Rama is makel like Rabbeinu Tam. Okay. And then the Rama adds also, nowadays our Goyim are not really over the Avodah Zarah. So the Rama says anyway, I would have been makel anyway.
So that's for Sephardim and Ashkenazim.
Yeah. Yeah. So according to Sephardim, if you have wine touched by a non-Jew and gets mixed in with other wines, it's also b'mashu.
You're done.
Correct. You're done. Okay. That's issue number one. Issue number two is Tevel. Okay? Tevel. Our Gemara says that Tevel is an exception. All other Isurim, the amount, it's subject to Bittul, except for Yayin Nesach and except for Tevel. And the Gemara gives an interesting explanation. Why is Tevel an exception? Because Ketero Kachisuro. Just like to make Tevel acceptable, all you need to do is take one Chita out, one kernel out. So to make it Aser, so any amount makes it Aser. Okay, it's hard to understand what that has to do with tarovis. What does that have to do with mixture? In other words, tevel is something which is aser. Correct. In terms of making a correction in Tevel, it doesn't take a whole lot, but still, it's a davar shebe'esr, it's something which is asr, and why it should be an exception is difficult to understand. Again, let's go back to Tosfos now. Last Tosfos on the page. Tosfos says that the Tema, five lines down in the Tosfos, the Hachamashu at the time of the Tevel, Mashu, Dechehetar Kachisura. It sounds like the Gemara is really believing in the reason that it's providing, which not a crazy statement, meaning the Gemara says that the Gemara believes it. However, Tosfos says, if you shami kamar, the time of Mishum, the Tevel Yesh Lamatirin, the Choldavish Yesh Lamatirin, I feel about Elaf Labato, could go in Tevel Ushvius, or Maisa Behektish, Kishayim Beminan. But then Tosfos quotes the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi gives what is a little bit more understandable explanation of why Tevel is Isuri Mashu. And the Yerushalmi introduces us to a concept of Davash Yesh Lamatirin. It doesn't introduce us. The Gemara in Beitza also talks about the same concept of Davash Yesh Lamatirin. What is the concept of Davash Yesh Lamatirin? It means like this. Something right now is prohibited. Right? However, it's correctable. Meaning, if you wait a little bit, or if you do a very minor action, it will become permissible. And that item gets mixed in with other things?
Wait.
I knew we were going there. Which is good. It's a good place to go, but just wait 1 second. Right? So this is the concept of Davash Yesh Lamatirin. The Gemara in Beitza, the Gemara never applies this to Chametz. Okay, I'll talk about that in just a moment. The Gemara gives a classic example of an egg which is no lad b'yantiv, an egg that's laid on yantiv. And that egg gets mixed in with a bunch of other eggs. And the Gemara in Beitza says, I don't care how many eggs it got mixed in with, right? Just right now on yantiv itself, it's prohibited. Albeit it's only asr midrabbanan, but still it's prohibited. So, but wait a day, because tomorrow, the day after yantiv, it's going to be mutter. And Rashi explains over there in the Gemara in Beitza, Asha tochlena be'isser, tochlena be'heter. So before eating it with isser, just wait a day, because the whole tarovis will become permissible, and then wait at this, and then just eat a be'heter. Eat it in a state of permissibility. So Tosos over here quotes the Yerushalmi and says, same thing with Tevel. Same thing with Tevel. That when it comes to Tevel, look, right now it's usser. But all you need to do is take out a little bit of it, give a little bit to the coin, and give a little bit to... It's rectifiable. It can become permissible. So, asha tochlena beheter tochlena... I'm sorry. Asha tochlena beisser tochlena beheter. So, don't eat it now in the state of isser. Just wait and eat in the state of heter. That's the explanation of the Yerushalmi. That's the Yerushalmi says why Tevel is an exception to the rule.
It's an excellent point.
It's not the same as Beitza Shenol Dabiyantiv.
Right?
Well, that happens by itself. You don't have to do anything. Here you need to do something, right? And maybe that's why our Gemara, maybe that's why the Gemara Bavli doesn't opt with that explanation. Good. Okay, that's an excellent point. Is the same Svara true by Chametz B'Pesach? So the Rambam says, yes, it is. The Rambam says that same Svara of Davash Yesh Lamatirin, Asha Tochlena Be, Issa Tochlena Be Heter, so that's true by Chametz B'Pesach. That's why the Rambam says that when it comes to Chametz B'Pesach, it's Osir B'Mashehu. The Gemara tells us that Chametz is Osir B'Mashehu. Gemara never tells us why. So the Rambam says that's why, because it's a Davash Yesh Lamatirin. Right? Although it's interesting.
Asir Matirin, you can't have it after the Pesach either.
But
Correct.
But that's a knas. That's not because the Isser of Chametz really extends afterwards. That's a knas. You're right. That's what the Rambam is not agreed to by everybody, right? But that's the Rambam's svar behind Chametz B'Pesach.
And he's the only one that holds that.
I don't know anyone else, but that doesn't mean anything. Just means I don't know anyone else. But the other Rishonim I'm familiar with do not agree with the Rambam. They give other explanations behind Chametz B'Pesach. It's an Isser Kares. A kol machmetz is lo sochelo. Right. Okay, but that's only by shear. I don't know, but that doesn't teach us about Tarovis. Right? Okay. Okay, Ein Dal Amud Aleph. Let's start today's daf. Eila Asurim VeOsrim B'Chol Shehu. Okay, the Mishnah is going to give us a laundry list of those things which are osir b'mashehu, any amount of this item getting mixed up with other items is going to be prohibited. The residual tarovis, the resulting tarovis is going to be prohibited. And the list includes yayin esek, wine that was libated for avodah zarah, avodas kochavim, actual avodah zarah, oros levuvim, hearts of an animal. I'm sure I'll explain each one of these. Hides of an animal. I'll go through each one a little more carefully. Shor niskal, the ox that was stoned. Egla arufa, the calf that was, sliced in the back of the neck. Sipar mitzorah, the birds of the mitzorah. Seyar nazir, the hair of a nazir. Petach hamor, the donkey. Basa b'chal of meat and milk. Seira mishalech, the goat that's thrown off the cliff. Chulin shenishchutu ba'azara. Any non-Kodesh animal shechted in the Beis HaMikdash, specifically in the Azara, Hare Elu, Asurin, V'Isuran, B'chol Shehu. This is a list of things which are Asur and Asur B'chol Shehu. Now, as we will see in the Gemara in just a moment, common denominator. This is a long list of things. What do all of them have in common? So the Gemara will tell us that the common denominator between all of them is, number one, the Isurei Hana'a, and they're things which can be counted, right? A significant things which can be counted. Okay, it's what the Gemara calls a davish b'minyan, countable items. Now that I gave you the common denominator, which the Gemara tells us, let's now go back and let's revisit every single one of these items, and let's look at these items in the context of the definition of the Gemara. Again, isuri hana'a and davish b'minyan. Okay, number one, yain nesach. So yayin esek, that for sure is asur b'hana'a, but it's a davish b'minyan, things which are counted. Now you understand Rashi.
What do you mean by being counted? I don't understand what that means.
Counted means that they are significant items. Mm-hmm. Items that when I sell them in a store, I'll say I'll take two of them.
Oh, I see.
Okay? So take a look at Rashi, yayin esek. Now you understand Rashi. Rashi writes yayin esek, chavis be'elef chavios. One barrel mixed in with 1,000 barrels. Right? I wouldn't have said barrels, but now that I know the Gemara, now I would say barrels, because the common denominator in the Mishnah are, number one, things which are also b'hana'a, and number two, davish b'minyan, things which are counted. That's why Rashi immediately says, what's the example of yayin esek? Barrels. Not wine. Not because wine isn't also b'mashu. This is a tricky part of the Mishnah. Wine is also b'mashu, as we just learned in the previous sugya. We just learned from the previous Mishnah. It just happens to be that our Mishnah has a certain criteria. Our Mishnah is very clear about what its criteria is, and that's specifically davish b'minyan and isurei mashehu. Next, avodas kochavim. So again, look at Rashi. Rashi gives us, what are we talking about when we're talking about avodas kochavim? So Rashi says, sura she'avdua. So you have a form, a figure, but just a form by itself does not necessarily mean it's avodah zarah. In order for it to be avodah zarah, it has to be worshipped. So you have a tzura shavdua, v'nisarva be'alav tzura she'enam avodah kochavim. And it got mixed up with a whole bunch of other figurines or statues that weren't worshipped. So once again, it's asur b'hana'a, right? And it's davish b'minyan, therefore it made our Mishnah. Oros levuvin. Remember what that was? We discussed it about 2 months ago. Right. So back then, part of their avodah zarah ceremony is that they cut a hole into the chest of an animal, reached in, grabbed the heart, pulled the heart out. Okay. No. Okay. Doesn't sound that cultured, that sophisticated. Yeah. Anyway, so the Mishnah here is telling us that the or the hide of such an animal is asur b'hana'a, because this is tekrovus avodah zarah. It was offered for avodah zarah, and so therefore the hides are asur. And back then, what was it, chavtes? Back then, the Mishnah taught us how exactly the forensics, how you're going to know that this hide was used. A specific cut in the in the hide of the animal. Good. Shor haniskal. Shor haniskal, an ox that was stoned. This ox killed somebody. And so therefore the ox needs to be put to death. This is a shor haniskal. The ox is asur b'hana'a. This ox gets mixed up with other oxen. So then it's going to be, once again, asur b'mashu. Egla arufa, same story. This is the animal that is used in the ceremony, in the mitzvah of when we have a murder, we don't know who the murderer was, and the body is found between two cities, and you measure to see which city is close in proximity, and that city, now the zakenim of that city, have to go through the mitzvah of Egla Rufa. The animal that's used in Egla Rufa is Asabana, and if that animal gets mixed up with other animals, so then they're all going to be Asar. Sipore Mitzora, the birds that are used for the Tahara of the Mitzora, those birds are also Asar Bahana. The hair of the Nazir, hair of the Nazir, which interestingly enough the Torah tells us, cut off the Nazir and put under the pot where the Zroa Bishela is being cooked, the Zroa of the Isle of the Nazir.
And that's all the numbers?
And that's, yeah, right. No, that's, it's a fantastic point. I'm not sure how that's a davish abominion.
But I don't get it. Egla Rufa doesn't get sold in numbers. It's only once in a blue moon it happens.
Correct, but it's an animal, so it's a davish abominion. If it were sold, you're right. It's not actually sold, but if it were sold, it would be sold in numbers. Petar Chamor, the donkey, the firstborn donkey, which needs to be redeemed. Rashi writes prior to being redeemed. It's also about now, you know, to get benefit from it. Basa b'chalav. So here we're stuck. Basa b'chalav, meat and milk. So Rashi says, don't get stuck. Rashi writes, chatichas basa shenispashla b'chalav. Piece of meat that gets cooked in milk. V'nesra b'no sein tam. Now we know now that this piece of meat becomes prohibited, right? V'chazar v'nisarva be'elev chatichas. And now, this piece of meat gets mixed up with other pieces of meat. Osos kulan behana. So they're all going to be also. Not only are they all going to be also, but they're all going to be also behana. V'hai tana savar, basa b'chalav isur hana. And obviously, our Mishnah is of the opinion that basa b'chalav is also behana. Right? Depluktihi b'chalav basa b'shchitas chulan. When we get to chulan, we're going to see in the 8th parak of chulan that this is subject to a debate amongst the Tanaim. Obviously, our Mishnah subscribes to the view that basa b'chalav is asar behana, and so therefore the resulting mixture is also going to be, meaning mixture over here means this piece of meat getting mixed up with other pieces of meat. It's certainly interesting because, as opposed to all the other examples given in our Mishnah, right, this is a case of min b'mino, meaning this piece of meat guy that got mixed up with other pieces of meat. They all don't have the same exact taste, meaning this meat over here is milk meat. It's meat that has a milk taste in it. The other pieces of meat that it got mixed up with are just plain meat. So it's interesting because I wouldn't necessarily have called this a case of min b'mino, but clearly the Mishnah does call it a case of min b'mino. No. No, you see, that, it's funny, but it's interesting. That's the pshat that Rashi does not like. Rashi then goes on, right? Some people say that the pshat in the Mishnah is that even a drop of milk falls into a lot of meat and it creates iser. Rashi suggests that the pshat is a drop of milk falling into a pot of meat, or a piece of meat falling into a pot of milk. But Rashi says that's not the pshat. Because when you learn the Gemara, you're going to learn that our whole Mishnah is talking about davish abeminyan, countable items. Since these are countable items, they're considered chashuv, velo batel, and therefore not subject to bittul. The iba basar shenisar tama bechalav kamari, oh, betipas chalav shenaf lekaderos may have a davish abeminyan. So number one, if we're talking about a drop of milk that falls into meat, that's not davish abeminyan. So from that standpoint, it doesn't qualify as a pshana mishnah. Va'od, and moreover, and I'd add, more fundamentally, how kimna kol yisurin shabatar shalom b'mina b'no sein tam. V'afilu Rav Shmuel dam b'mamashu b'shalom b'mina modu. Even Rav and Shmuel, who we started off the morning learning, who holds that min b'mino is b'mashu, but milk and meat is not min b'mino, milk and meat is min b'sheino mino. So there's no position that ever holds that a drop of milk that falls into meat is going to make the meat usur. It's not true. So Rashi says it's there are people who say the pshat in the Mishnah, but it's not the correct pshat. Rashi categorically rejects it. Fine. Okay. Back to the Mishnah. Let me just finish up the Mishnah. Sira Mishnah Aleach. Right, this is an interesting one. Or the goat that's thrown off the cliff. Right, the Mishnah in Yuma tells us that such a goat never makes it to the end of the cliff, meaning it gets torn up and tattered. But I guess if you still have a significant piece of that Sira Mishtalech, and that piece gets mixed up with other pieces, it's also b'mashu. And finally, Chulin Shenishchetu Ba'azara, that's also be that's also b'mashu as well.
Isn't that Tzar Balei Chaim, throwing the goat over the edge and killing it that way?
And
Tzar Balei Chaim,
and what
about
Lachman?
Sure,
it's Tzar Balei Chaim. I'm sure it hurts. Torah says to do it, so therefore we do it. By the way, Stu, Rashi at the end, at the tail end, he deals with your issue. Right? There's no different maskal. Seir Nazir Davar Hanimker B'minyanu Kama Gizos B'Sela the Osim and Sakin. Okay? I mean...
I'm actually looking in the Ron. The Ron says, you know, Shehari Bo Begin Kosher.
Yeah.
M-A-R-T-S-K-O-K-O-K-O-K.
Oh, okay, good. Okay. Otherwise, right, it's hair by itself. It's hard to imagine that hair by itself is a Davar Sheba Minyan. Good. Okay, good. Tana Mai Kachashiv, let's start with the Gemara. I Davar Sheba Minyan Kachashiv, lesen nami chatichos nevela. I Suri Hanak Kachashiv, lesen nami chametz bepesach. The Gemara scratches its head at our Mishnah. What's our Mishnah doing over here? Is the Mishnah looking at Davar Sheba Minyan? So then, just a regular piece of meat, non-kosher meat. Why doesn't the Mishnah talk about that? And is our Mishnah looking at Isuri Hana? And if that's what the criteria of the Mishnah was, Chom v'chametz bePesach. So, Amar b'chia barabe v'itemer av yitzchak nafcha haitana tarti islay. Davish v'minyan v'isuri Hana. Good. So our Mishnah is looking at a specific criteria. It's like a search engine, our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is putting in the search engine. I want to find for me Davar Sheba Minyan and Isuri Hana. And that's what our Mishnah registered. Our Mishnah therefore registered all the things that it just listed. The listnei, okay, now the Gemara, questioning the search engine of the Mishnah. The listnei goes Iprach v'rimoni bedan, the Davar Sheba Minyan v'Isuri Hanahu. So if our Mishnah is doing that, looking for Isuri Hana and Davar Sheba Minyan, so the nuts of Prach, Rashi writes Prach is the name of a town, the pomegranates of Bedan, and specifically we're talking about Klai HaKerem and Arla, which is, they're both. When I buy pomegranates, I buy them by the count. And, assuming they're Arla, it's Asabana. So how come our Mishnah doesn't talk about that as well? So the Gemara's answer is very simple, Hatan Lai Hasam. Because we have a Mishnah for that. Right, if you go to the Mishnah in Arla, third parak of Arla, you're going to find the Mishnah says Haraila Arla Arla Raila Klai Karim Klai Karim. The Mishnah already tells us over there in Arla that these things are Davar Sheba Minyan and the Isuri Hana, and any amount will make it usur. So once we have a Mishnah in Arla, so our Mishnah over here doesn't need to include it because it's already in the Mishnayos. It's already in the body of Mishnayos. Good. Well, let's think Kikar Shabbat Abayis.
And if they included it, people might be confused to think that you can learn something else out of it because it's meant
right.
To
right. In other words, it's not. It's just not right. You're right. It's not necessary. But listen, kikar shabal abayis lein yichametz bePesach. What about kikar shabal abayis loaves that are made by a homeowner, and they are significant and they're chashuv and the davar sheba minyan? And why not teach it to us in the context of chametz bePesach? Meaning that if I make such a loaf and that loaf gets mixed in. And that loaf is chametz and gets mixed in with others which are not chametz. So why isn't our Mishnah include that? So man shama damale Rabbi Akiva, ha tanale hasam Rabbi Akiva mosif af kikar shabal abayis. So the Gemara says, all right, it's also included in the Mishnah, so therefore our Mishnah does not need to include it as well. Okay, good. Hare elu, so limute mai. So what is the exclusion of our Mishnah? Our Mishnah ends off with a generality. Our Mishnah says, Hare elu asurim v'osim v'chol shehu. So what's the exclusion? Now, Tosfos right away picks up on the fact that the Mishnah is a little confusing right now, and the Gemara is a little confusing, because we're saying the exclusion of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is not really exclusionary, right? Meaning that when we say... I understand that, but I'm saying, but the Gemara right now is looking for a miut. What's the miut of our Mishnah? I'm just pointing out, Tosfos points this out, that the miut over here, what are you telling me? That we're really, if it's just us or Behana, or if it's a Davish Abed Minyan, there is no Bittul. I'm sorry, you're telling me that there is Bittul. That's what the exclusion is, but that's not true. Davish Abed Minyan is never subject to Bittul. So, as Tosfos points out over here, the miut over here is not a miut in the sense that we're excluding a halacha. It's a miut in the sense that just it doesn't fit into our Mishnah. That's what the miut means over here. So, my lamuti davish beminyan v'lav yisurena, inam lamuti yisurena v'lo davish beminyan. Meaning, look, our Mishnah is a search engine plugging in the two criteria of davish beminyan and yisurena. And if you're not both, you're just not making it into our Mishnah. Okay.
Why wouldn't we have realized that from the phrase in the beginning? A was some
about right.
I understand the Gemara's question.
Right. And also, I mean, I guess just more generally, what's the nafkamina? Meaning, so it didn't make it into our Mishnah. And now what? It's, you know, usually, and this is exactly what Tosfos is bothered by. Usually when the Gemara has this discussion, it's a halachic framework. And essentially what the Gemara is saying is, no, this is not halacha, this is just a question of classification and categories. Okay. Yai Nesach Shnafal Abor Kulo Asar Bahana. A little bit of Yai Nesach that falls into a pit. So the whole pit now, pit meaning, of course, pit of wine. Right? Again, back in the good old days, they would press the wine, and the wine would run into a pit. And you would leave it there. Seal up the pit, you'd leave it there, and you let it ferment in the pit.
Why not?
What about a little bit of Yai Nesach that falls into the pit? So the Mishnah says you're done. Because Yai Nesach is also b'mashehu, and so the whole pit is going to be elsewhere. And then there's Shitas Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer Yimaker Kula Lo Vekochavim Chutz Midme Yai Nesach Shabo. We have seen Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel already in the Masechta, but here he's in the Mishnah. This is the prime location of Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. He says you could do it. You could sell the whole mixture minus the Yai Nesach that falls in.
But so you don't have to get enough from it.
Right, so you will not...
By him getting money for it...
You're not selling the Yayin Esach. You're selling the non-Yayin Esach. You're allowed to, Hashem Gamaliel allows you to sell the non-Yayin Esach. Meaning, in the world of Tarovis, it's like we discussed earlier. When I have this mixture of Yayin Esach mixed in with the wine, so I could say, look, there's no Bittul. Meaning I can't drink it. But it's not that the Yayin Esach takes over the other wine. There's just no Bittul. It just is not nullified. It's there... But it doesn't, you know, it doesn't conquer. That's one way to look at it. And that's clearly the way Rabbi Shimon Gamliel looks at it. So according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, if there's an avenue in which I can now give it to somebody who is allowed to drink it, i.e. a non-Jew, so sell it to them. I, the Yai Nesach, good. I won't sell the Yai Nesach. I'll deduct that amount. The other way to look at it is that, no, that when Yai Nesach gets mixed in with other wine, the entire mixture takes on the characteristic of Yai Nesach. It's Kulo Isser. It's an entire mixture of Isser. And that's obviously the opinion of the Tanakhama. And therefore the Tanakhama says there's nothing to do. You got to destroy the whole thing. Eradicate the whole thing.
Can you give it away free to a guy?
Nope. Amar Rav Halach Rav Shimon Gamliel. Chavis b'chavis. Avalo Yayin b'yayin. So the Gemara now, just a quick Gemara, quick discussion. What's the halachic conclusion? So Rav says halacha is like Rav Shimon Gamliel, but only in the world of barrels. Meaning, if barrels get mixed up with one another, but not with wine. Shmuel Amar Filo Yayin B'Yayin. Shmuel goes even if wines got mixed up together. V'chein Amar Rav Abba Bachan Amar Rav Yochanan Filo Yayin B'Yayin. V'chein Amar Shmuel Bar Nostra Amar Rav Yochanan Filo Yayin B'Yayin. V'chein Amar Rav Nachman Amar Rav Bar Avua Filo Yayin B'Yayin. Amar Rav Nachman Halacha L'Maisa. Gemara over here comes to a very definitive conclusion. Yayin Esach. Yayin b'yayin aser, chavis b'chavis mutter. When it comes to real yayin nesach, real meaning that a non-Jew actually used the wine as part of his service to the Avodah Zarah. So then, if that wine gets mixed up with other wines, it's usur. It's absolutely forbidden. The whole thing must be destroyed. If it's barrels that get mixed up, so I have a barrel of Yayin Esther Chayim mixed up with other barrels, mutter. Mutter means that you can sell all the barrels, deduct the value of the one barrel that's not Yayin Esther. Good. Now we go to Stam Yenam, and in the world of Stam Yenam, which means the wine was touched by a non-Jew, but he didn't actually use it for Nesach, Avodah Zarah. I feel Yayin B'Yayin Mutter. Yayin B'Yayin would be Mutter, which means that you could sell the mixture of the wines minus the Avodah Zarah portion of the yain, of the Stam Yenam that get mixed in. So, Dr. Zagi, to your question that you asked me earlier, which, right, is there going to be a difference between Yayin Esach versus Stam Yenam? And the answer, according to Rabbeinu Tam, we already saw one answer. Rabbeinu Tam says Bittel, right? According to Rabbeinu Tam, in the world of Stam Yenam, it's Batal B'Shishim, right? And now, we'll say, but that Rabbeinu Tam is controversial, not everyone agrees to that Rabbeinu Tam, but now we'll say another difference, which is, can you sell it? So according to the Gemara's conclusion, very definitive conclusion, it's a difference. Yayin Esach, if I got actual Yayin Esach that got mixed in with other wines, can't sell it. If I have Stam Yenam that got mixed in with other wines, you're allowed to sell it, minus the...
That's enough.
Huh?
That's getting benefit.
No, you're not. I'm sorry, you're not getting benefit because you're not going to accept the value of the Stam Yenam. You're only accepting the value. You're deducting that value. You're only accepting the value of the other wine.
What would be the start of the opposite that it applies by God in this whole system? Previous Mishnah really being misunderstood. Really the Gemara's conclusion makes sense because.
Correct. It's right. It's very easy to differentiate.
Does this exist anywhere else?
No, it's such an interesting position of Shimon Gamliel. He just, you know, this is. I mean, this is where the Gemara concludes. You know, this is it. It's a hard conclusion of the Gemara.
And no one really understands it. Kind of looks like because they're just quoting other people.
Right. Well, because when you have such a major machlokas like this, you know, and Rosh Hashem Gamliel seems to be the minority position, so that's why you see the reinforcement of this Amara and this Amara and this Amara all supporting Rosh Hashem Gamliel. Okay. All right. We are a $9 mid base. Let's start the sugya, and this is the sugya of kashering. And the rest of today's daf, tomorrow's daf, Friday's daf, is how to kasher. Not a lot of Gemara about how to kasher. Really not. But we will do this to the best of our ability. Gashel Evan, Shezaf Sarobi Kochavim, if you have a pit of stone that was pitched by a non-Jew, Rashi writes, first Rashi in the Mishnah, Orcha Lemirma Bechamra Purta La Avure Kutra Dezifsa. Pitches is a foul odor, right? Anyone have following a truck of tar, right? And immediately you know it. Oh, you know it. It smells so good. So what they did is that in order to try to counteract the smell, they would do is they would pour a little bit of wine into the pitch, and that would help out with the odor of the pitch. And so here you have a stone, a Gachel Evan, and it was lined with pitch. And the reason why it was lined with pitch is so that it would hold the wine inside. Right? Much like the teva, which was lined with pitch, so that water wouldn't go into the page, into the teva. So similarly over here, just the other direction, it was pitched from the inside so that no wine would leave the cistern in the ground. So you have this pitch, but the problem with the pitch is that it's got a little bit of Stam Yenam in it. So what do you do? How do you get rid of the iser? Midnag bavihi tahara. Just dry it. All it needs is a drying. The Gemara is going to be a little bit clearer about the drying process for the pitch. But again, let's just learn the Mishnah. You dry it and that's it. Vishel eitz. If, however, the material that was pitched was wood and not stone, wood is more porous. Therefore, the pitch and the Yayin in the pitch goes into the wood, so here you need to do more. Well, Rebbe does not agree. Rebbe Omer Yinagev. Rebbe says same thing. Niguv, all you need to do is dry it. So from Rebbe's perspective, wood and stone is the same. However, the Chachamim Omrim, Yiklof is a Zephis, but according to the Chachamim, you actually have to actually take off a layer of the pitch. Good. Vishel Cheres. Yes.
It's absorbed, right. So how does that help? You remove the pitch, but it has been absorbed into the wood, some of it. So.
Some of it. Agreed. I understand. Okay. V'shocheres, afa pishakal v'zazefes, arei zazura. And when it comes to kli cheres, which is the most porous material, every time we talk about earthenware, immediately you should think how earthenware is just so absolutely porous that there is nothing that penetrates earthenware. IR plates don't seem that porous. Yeah, because they're all glazed.
They're glazed.
Every plate that we have is glazed. Mm-hmm. But if it was just earthenware by itself, it's so porous, so the pitch goes into every crevice. The Gemara says, Asura, there's no way to kosher it.
So for the fact that it's glazed, what changes the status?
Yeah, but then the question is, how to view the glazing? So that you go ask your local Orthodox rabbi. Amar Rava, let's do a little more Gemara today. Amar Rava, Dafka Zafsava, Darach Ba'alo. So Rava starts off the halacha by saying, look, if the pitch was laid into the stone, so then drying it is all you need. But, darachba, but if you already pressed grapes into it, meaning you made wine is now into a pshita. I'm sorry, so niguv is not, niguv.
You don't need to.
I'm sorry. According to the first, all right, there are two going to be two versions of the statement. According to the first version of the statement, we're talking about where it was not pitched. Right, the Gemara says that seems to be obvious. Our Mishnah is talking about pitch. I might have thought that the Mishnah is just describing what normally occurs. But if there was grapes that were pressed into this hole, then you would also need to do niguv. The Chiddush is no, you know. Okay, fine. That's the first version. Niguv means drying. Ikadam, the Gemara brings us.
You rinse it.
It seems that it's
Niguv is a process. Niguv is a process. It's not correct. It's just right. Well, the Gemara is going to spell it out. Igadam, the second version. Amar Rava Dafka Zafsav Al Darach Ba Lo Sagile Beniguv. Now, according to the Igadamre, it means that it was both pitched and wine was pressed in. Niguv is not going to be enough. Pshita, Gemara says, I would agree. Zafsa tanan. Mao de tema hua din da filu darachba. The high dictani zafsa orchan de milka katani. Kamash malan. Dafka zafsa. Aval darachba. Lo sagile ben nigov. So the Gemara says, yes, correct. Zafsa ba. If you use the pitch, if you use pitched and you pressed grapes into it, so then nigov is not going to be enough. Good. Okay, we'll stop over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up. Tomorrow it's koshering. Koshering kalim all day tomorrow. Okay. Very good.